renegade economist is saying you.
Economics for activists. Economics is being made. Economics. These are the tools activists need. How can we kill them? What motivates them? Why do people spend money? Understand the basics to economics.
Fresh back from Vanuatu, ready to lift the lid on the outrageous occurrences of neocolonialism, neoclassical economics at the core. That's right, Carl Fitzgerald back in the studio, fresh from 10 days in Vanuatu, returning very fired up. Unbelievable what is going on. Over there, supposedly an island paradise, Vanuatu, population of 300,000 people, 30,000 people in Port Vila, seen as the place to go for your Pacific Island holiday. The Solomon Islands and Fiji have had their political troubles, and I've been tracking this for the last 3 or 4 years, watching how the transition from customary land title to Western land title is influencing society. And it is extremely interesting to have visited and seen the enclosure of the commons occurring as we speak each and every day in Vanuatu. And, you know, it really is the vanguard of, neocolonialism is land speculation. And what's happening there is that Westerners, particularly dodgy Aussie con men, my God, I'm embarrassed. Come back seriously embarrassed is what Australians are doing in Vanuatu. The cheap flights Virgin Air and crew are putting on, you can fly there for $85 plus $220 as your Macquarie Bank airport tax. So it's around about $300 you can fly to Vanuatu. And this has meant that a lot of Australians are buying land there and land banking and speculating and making easy, easy profits. But at what cost is it coming to the local people? And over the next couple of weeks, you're going to hear many interviews we conducted with people on the ground discussing the effects of higher and higher rents and how that flows through to higher food prices, higher transport prices, and more work hours and less genuine freedom. And that's what we're concerned about here, is tilting the economic system so that land and natural resources are included in the economic equation. Unfortunately, the advice the Vanuatuan government have been given is pretty much a bum steer. And it was very inspiring to see how passionate people were there about land and land ownership. Because in Port Vila, the capital city, is about 89% foreign-owned. All medium and large-sized businesses are foreign-owned. They're paying over 50% of their wages in rent. It's the equivalent of $20 to catch a bus. A five-minute bus journey is $20, basically. It's probably as much... No, it's triple that, $60 for about 6 phone calls on your mobile phone. Prices are through the roof. And since 2001, when the flights to Vanuatu started to cheapen up, property prices have boomed. And in 2006, I think, a well-intentioned NGO did a study to find the world's happiest people. And Vanuatu was supposedly the winner. Happiest people with a reasonable income and the lowest eco footprint. Turns out that when that report came out, it benefited one section of society. Regular listeners will know where I'm going. The property lobby saw this as the ultimate sales banner. And so around the world now, this is trumped out as a reason to buy land in Vanuatu. So wherever you go, there's a for sale sign. Do you think the Ni Vanuatuans, the indigenous owners of, indigenous custodians of the land, have a chance of buying their land? Competing with an Aussie or American or Kiwi dollar, they've got very, very little chance. And so, for the time that we were there, we only saw two locally owned businesses. But yet we heard stories of hordes of aid workers there. And instead of hearing good stories on what they were about and what they were up to, we heard locals telling us how all they did was drink beer and create a scene. Seems like there's a lot of 20-year-olds over there earning reasonable Australian dollars, having a great party of a time. In the meantime, you go for a walk down the main street and you can feel the eyes of young men who should be in their prime, staring at your shopping bag, looking at the food, going, ooh, gee, I wish I could have some of that. So, I predict that, unfortunately, in the next year or two, there may well be riots in Vanuatu, just as we've seen in Fiji and the Solomons, other Pacific countries, as land gets enclosed and more money is needed to meet the rents to the so-called private owners of the earth. It's contrary to what we're brought up with, the belief that we were all created as equals, and for that we all have a birthright in the lands of this earth. The fruits of the earth should be everyone's. But due to a deft twist in the way economics is worked out, land and natural resources are left out of the economic equation, and we look at the two-dimensional analysis of capital and labour. So we were invited over there to speak to the Council of Chiefs for the Shepherd Alliance Party, a reasonably new Indigenous sovereignty-based party. Already has one MP after only 8 months in formation. And it was inspiring to see these chiefs click on to just the reasons why land is so much more valuable. So a airport was recently built on the island of Santo. And the people who benefited were the speculators. The land bankers swooped on in there. Perhaps many of them had already bought up the island because their political cronies had told them this was coming. And so they made these killer, killer profits, making money in their sleep. And one of the many Carls I met over there told me that this is magic money. You know, they just go to sleep and come back in a year or two, or maybe just make a phone call, and they make this magic money without working. And you would have heard us use similar sort of analogies here on the show. But at the end of this 3-day conference where, you know, the resonance of capturing the bounty of the land for the public goodwill rather than the deepest pockets of the wealthiest people on this planet was quite inspiring to see some tribal dancers from the island of Tanna. And just as they're about to begin and the outside player in front of the chief's Nagamo, a comet flew across the sky. And then this came through. fun, fun people. Imagine hundreds of people were running towards these dancers, 12 of them in formation, celebrating the fact that they can dance on the land, enjoy the fruits of the earth whilst they still are. The indigenous culture still in play in some of the remote islands of Vanuatu. So in the main areas, pretty well covered. So it was within this context of cultural imperialism that many people were keyed into what we were saying. We're going to flick now to an interview we did with a labourer named Tommy. We're outside the Chief's Nugamala. I'm here with Tom. And Tom, tell me what's happening in Vanuatu regarding land. What's happening?
Okay, in Vanuatu today, there's many people who give in crowns, like, and many white people comes to Vanuatu, paying crowns to all the landowners and try to sell all the crowns again, or try to, yeah.
And they're cutting the land up, they're subdividing it and selling it for lots and lots of money, aren't they? And how do the people feel about that?
Oh, so all the black people feel so very bad when they just read about that. Something's all gone wrong somewhere. So they just realized that there's something wrong, and they were straight thinking, but it's just too late. Whatever.
Well, maybe we can turn it around. But I was interested to learn that Vanuatu means eternal lands. Eternal land. And tell me how that fits in with your culture. What do people think about land here?
So what they just think now is they just try to of some mind that they can redevelop their crown, but it's too late for them, because they already sold all the crowns.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of beaches around Port Vila here, the capital city of Vanuatu, have been sold up. And we were at Mele yesterday, and Pango we're going to go to, I think, tomorrow. And it's, are there many other beaches where it's been sold off?
Okay, all the other beaches, all the beaches that have been sold off is maybe Rondapau, Zakpe. So I think so you maybe know that in Vanuatu or in Port Vila today, 80% of this land has already been sold to all the white peoples. So it's only 20% left for the indigenous peoples.
And that's of Port Vila or of surrounding areas? Or is that all of Vanuatu, you're saying?
No, this is just only Port Vila. I mean, yeah, the island of Evadi. Including Port Vila, yeah.
And the Ministry of Lands here, even the Ministry of Lands rents their land off of someone else, overseas owner of the land. And I thought that was rather ironic. Did you see that in the paper yesterday? They owe, I think, 12 million vatu for rent to someone, some other owner. It's quite shocking.
Okay, so in the place, so I'm sorry, I don't know about that, but of course, I'm sure maybe it's true.
Whew. Well, we spoke on Friday about how we could get the government to increase the land rents on the land, because a lot of these beaches that have been sold off, they're still empty. There's no one on them. But every day that goes past, that land gets more valuable. And if the land rents or the land tax is increased, then the speculator has to do something, has to sell that land quickly. They can't hold it so no one else can use it. And this is one of the problems that I've seen in my brief time here, is there's a lot of vacant land. And I just went for a walk around this block here, Tommy, and there were five empty blocks of land and one big mansion that was empty, no one living in it.
So I thought maybe all the land, the empty, already been paid, but there's no man to go in there, so that's why he just we just leave it empty like that. Yeah.
There's something wrong, though, isn't there? It needs to be a better way to change that.
Yeah, I think we might be find another way to change all that. Or just one more thing, it's more better to change the minister of land. Because I know he's the only one that makes some wrongs, crooked things, and that's the way just sell the plants to all different peoples.
For cheap prices, too.
Yeah, just for cheap prices. Yeah.
Corruption. All right. Well, thank you very much for talking to us today, Tommy.
Hi, Chile. So, well, thanks very much for your interview with me today, or this evening. Thank you.
A string band, traditional music, Vanuatuan music, Salianaleri. All right, we're going to flick over to an interview I did now with Chief Popovi of the Tianlui lands, and he had some more interesting material. When they're buying and selling like that, it's not like they're creating, it's not like there's a land factory and they're making anything new, really, is it? A lot of subdivision happens, and they sell, someone else buys it, and they sleep on it for a year or two, and then they sell. Is that happen much here?
That's what is happening very much here. We don't agree with it at all, but we cannot control it because, someone buys an agricultural lease or an industrial lease or commercial lease, and then went on and rezoned it to a residential, which is very bad because it didn't give employment opportunities to the population of the area and so forth.
And so they don't even put a house on it. Is that what's happening?
They don't even put a house, and some of them do also come and build few houses. But we found out that only two people are going to work. It's an upscale and a gardener who's working on the residential areas, which is very bad. I think commercial, like tourism commercial, is more better because give more employment opportunity to the locals.
And so is there really any tourism happening? What benefit is there for the community by carving up your forests and selling off the ocean views?
In my area, we don't have a lot of commercial tourism, which is a small part of about 2 hectares, which is leased by foreigner. It's been 45 hectares, and then they subdivided it and they put 2 hectares left, and they're trying to develop it now to a commercial resort.
And what about Ni Vanuatu? Are you having any luck developing your own lands and creating tourism?
Yeah, I think one of the most There are a lot of problem after it, because first of all we cannot develop the land because we have no money, and the government of the bank cannot assist us because we haven't got financial backup behind. I think all the foreigners or developers which they come in, they have financial backup, so they just went to the bank and then. But we also find out that they haven't got enough money, so we have to send them a mortgage and they get the money from the bank and they are going to develop the area. I think it's one of the things that the government from Vanuatu government has to do, because help locals to train them to be managers and look after what they can do in the future, and also give them financial assistance so that they can run their own businesses.
And that's exactly the opposite to what all the aid money is doing. We're going to hear next week some interviews on where that aid money is going and why Ni Vanuatuan indigenous custodians have set up their own political party, and some more background to the growing stresses between locals and foreigners. And this was perhaps best exemplified by a road trip we went on, and we had in mind to visit the hot springs, the only hot springs on the island of Efate, the main island where Port Vila is. And we drove all the way around there, interviewing many chiefs. Look out for an upcoming YouTube special. But from this, we dying to find somewhere to stop off and have lunch. And so we finally went down this Beachcombers Lodge Road. And we set up our blanket and cut up the pawpaw and enjoying this beautiful view of the Shepherd Islands. And keep in mind, we came over to speak with the Shepherd Alliance Party, and this was an alliance of Indigenous owners through these Shepherd Islands, and we were with some of the key organisers and sons, you know, children of the organisers. And next thing we know, this big loud voice from right behind us yells out, "And who do you think you are?" And the owner of, the so-called owner of the land, this outrageous Australian, started abusing the hell through us that we'd come and set up on his lands. And, it was just unbelievable that someone would be so protective of the only access road to the beach where you could go and sit and enjoy a bit of nature. And here he was also having enclosed these natural springs. And having investigated the nature of land valuations in Vanuatu, one would expect that he's not paying any compensation back to the public for having the advantage of these natural springs. He totally put us off, and it was this sort of insecurity over private land title that, you know, is seeping through the social fabric of Vanuatu and was really concerning to see. So, needless to say, we didn't spend any money with that landlord. We didn't give him the time of day. We just left and went and saw the next friendly village. Everywhere else was genuinely happy to see some visitors. They don't get many tourists actually driving around there outside of Port Vila from what we could see. So, yes, the battle over land, you know, it's switched away from armies and wars, and these days the new weapon of choice is land speculation, and this drives the neo-colonial dominance of formerly indigenous lands and is sweeping through the Pacific. It is horrifying to see just how little opportunity there is for a Ni Vanuatuan to get ahead when they have to pay so much in rent. You know, they have to pay for primary school. You've got to pay 30,000 vatu for primary school, which I think is around about $200, which is a lot of money when you're not earning much more than that. So a whole pile of kids are missing out on school. At high school, university, of course, the same thing goes on. Hospitals are a mess. So much money is leaving the country through these land bankers that is buying and selling nature's bounty, these beautiful views overlooking the sea, and it will be very, very interesting to see what goes on when this looming global recession hits these dodgy Australian property speculators who have bribed chiefs, who have suckered them into signing contracts due to language barriers. You know, the list goes on and on, and we're here each week trying to raise issues of how important land is, and to see this firsthand, the enclosure of the commons and people being kicked off their traditional customary lands due to dodgy land deals, it really is heartbreaking. And that's what happened in Australia hundreds of years ago, and it's happening in the Pacific as we speak. So, you know, when you think about how much you spend on clothes that perhaps are produced in a sweatshop each week versus how much you pay in rent every week, please, I hope you can stick with us and pay attention to some of these crucial facts, because as this global depression hits, you know, there will be a chance for us to come back. We will have a way forward to break open the opportunities that central locations in trendy shopping strips in Melbourne perhaps are not affordable at present, but we're going to discuss this more and more in the future. As we get towards the end of the show, it was interesting to see that Cuba has found a whole pile of oil. It's now in the top 20 of oil suppliers in the world. 20 billion barrels of oil discovered there. So they're in the big league, and won't it be interesting to see how long it takes America to formally recognize them and reduce the embargoes on their country. Flipping over to Africa, there's a whole pile of land grabbing going on through there as countries try to safeguard their food supply, build up their food security. And I think South Korea has bought one of the largest amounts of land in Madagascar ever seen. Some 120,000 hectares is being stored up and planted. So these massive agri crops are going to unfortunately grow in importance. And so a lot of Middle Eastern sovereign wealth funds are buying up lands in places like Pakistan and Sudan and areas like that as well. So, you know, as global warming speeds up, as sea levels rise, you know, we heard the Maldive Islands talking about buying land in high places. This is going to make previously unprofitable land all of a sudden very, very valuable. So we need to ensure that when that increase in value happens, we the people get a share of it, and not just the wealthy speculators who are in there first. So check out earthsharing.org.au. We've got the I Want to Live Here film competition screening on next week. It's going to be very exciting. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to being with you next week.